Happy to be with all of you tonight, and we're going to do divide up our little time into three different segments. Okay, we've got a devotion that we're going to have, and so we're going to be in the scripture first. Then we've got a little camp video that Mr. Ray's got queued up for us. Right? Does that get bigger up there?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. And then after that, I've got a handout, which that's if anybody was wondering when I was whispering to Joe, he was going to get the handout. So I've got that, and we'll go over that. So that's our three sections. So let's begin here tonight and have a word of prayer first, okay? Heavenly Father, we do give thanks. We are thankful for the time to be here together. We're thankful for this this group that's all here tonight. We're thankful for the facility that we can gather in a nice warm place. We give thanks for the scripture and the encouragement that it can be for us. And so, Father, as we have this time to spend in the Word now, we pray that it would be a benefit to us. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you'd make your way to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Jeremiah, what's that after? Where do you find 2 Corinthians? What book is it after? Huh?
Romans?
Well, it is after Romans. That is correct. Yeah. So, all right, we're all on our toes now. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Maybe I'll ask somebody, what chapter does chapter 2 come after? And we're going to look at verse 17. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we've got this this verse that falls right here in the end of the chapter. I didn't call for video yet. So... There are, if we split this verse in half, there's like a first half of the verse that says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And I'll give you a little bit of background. As we know, Paul is writing this. He's written 1 Corinthians. He's now writing the second epistle, the second letter to the Corinthians also. And he compares himself. He says, we're not as many. We're not like others, comparing himself to some other folks that perhaps were corrupting the Word of God. That word corrupt there, some of your translations might have merchandising or making gain out of ministry, so to speak. And so he's saying we're not like that. We're not ones that have corrupted the ministry or corrupted the Word of God by trying to merchandise it or sell it or profit from it. But, and then he gives four different areas. And this is where we would like to look tonight. We want to see these four different things that Paul mentions here. He says, as sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. So we'd like to look at those four different categories or four different things that Paul really references to his ministry. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul says we have a ministry of something. Can somebody tell me what that is? Yeah, reconciliations. We have a ministry of reconciliation. That's to all of us. Anyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has this ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of the gospel, right? We all, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a story to tell. We have a responsibility to tell another person how to accept Christ. We have good news to share. And so we all have a ministry. So Paul says that it should be of sincerity, be as of God, in the sight of God, and then that we should speak in Christ. So... The first thing he says is in sincerity. that word, well, does anybody write their letter, write a letter and then sign it sincerely, right? Sincerely yours, or sincerely put your name. And what, so what do you mean by that when you're saying sincerely? What are you trying to communicate? You can answer. Who said that? Truth? Okay. Truly, yep. Honestly. Kind of with some heart, right? Sincerely. The word here means, actually, this particular word means purity, right? Sincerely. Purely. I'm being open with you. I'm being transparent. I'm being frank. Well, I'm not being frank, but, you know. Do we have any Franks here? No. All right. Do what? Kind of? Okay. So, Paul, the first thing he says about his ministry is that he's coming from sincerity. He's being pure. He's offering truly the things that God has laid on his heart to communicate to these others. Hold your finger there and look at back to chapter 1. And in verse 12, he's going to use that word sincerity again. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity," right? There's the word we're after. Let's note the context of it. He's saying, our rejoicing, my joy, my pride, my happiness, my sense of accomplishment is the testimony of our conscience. We all have a conscience. We all know if something's right or wrong. And Paul's saying, look, God is my witness. I've got a clear conscience that in simplicity, remember he had made a connection with the other people who are merchandising the Word of God, who are corrupting the Word of God. I can say with a pure conscience, Paul is communicating, that I'm doing this in simplicity. I've not made things complicated to understand. I've not made things in some type of a formula that there's a 5-step process. I'll give you the first 3 for 3 for free, and then the second 2 steps you got to pay for, right? He said this is simplicity. In simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation, our life, our behavior in the world, and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things to you than that ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. So Paul is expressing his sincerity, his purity. You know, would any of us doubt Paul's sincerity? He wrote the majority of the New Testament, right? God used him in an incredible way. We know because he wrote so much of the New Testament, we know a lot about him. I mean, we know his background, we know his schooling, we know his testimony, we know his conversion experience. And he was a man who had credentials. We know the experiences that he went through. In fact, in chapter 4, still hold your finger in chapter 2, but go to chapter 4 there and notice a few things that he says that kind of affirm and reaffirm his sincerity, his purity. In chapter 4, in verse 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." I mean, that guy's sincere, right? I mean, he's not doing anything for selfish gain. He's not doing anything for himself. He's saying, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice down to verse 8, the same chapter, chapter 4. "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Do we doubt the sincerity of Paul? Other places we would read that he was shipwrecked. Other places we'd read that he was snake bitten. One time left for dead, stoned. I mean, none of us would doubt Paul's sincerity. None of us would doubt that he, when we read, but as of sincerity, but as of purity, I have a pure motive to share Christ with you. That's kind of a benchmark for Paul's ministry, is what he's saying. First, I'm sincere, I'm pure. The second thing that he says in this verse 17, back at chapter 2 and verse 17, he uses this phrase, but as of God. And you know, as we think about something being as a result of something else. let's see. We would recognize the something that was first, and the thing that came along second would be, the first thing would be the source, right? As of God. God is our source. Paul's talking about his ministry here. It says, but as of God. God is the source of my ministry. We also might think in a proper context that God is the strength of my ministry. As of God. That little phrase that we're considering right now. As of God. He's my source. God's the source of this ministry that we've been given, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the gospel. God's the strength. Hold your finger there again and go all the way back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel and chapter 22:33 is the verse we're after. Noticing God as the origin, God as the strength of Paul's ministry. Look at what we read here in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 33. God is my strength and power. He maketh my way perfect. We would read again, just flip over quickly to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 5, or verse 2, excuse me. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. God's the origin. God created. God loved. God designed redemption's plan. God, the things that we do in our daily walk, in our Christian life, they should be as of God. God is the source. God is my strength. We take a great encouragement from the fact that God is our source of strength. We can read that as a study in itself, that God is my strength, that phrase. I trust that will be an encouragement to us. So Paul has God. He's got this ministry. And he says, my ministry is sincerity and purity. God's the source of my ministry. God's the strength of my ministry. And now the third thing we see is that his ministry is in the sight of God. Now, who in here likes to be watched? Anybody? You like to be watched? Now, I thought about this. Follow this line of thinking for just a minute. You know, there are times in our life when we like to be watched. In fact, if you were getting ready to go rappelling up at Mountaintop, would you like your belayer watching you? I think so, right? That's the time when you like to be watched. You're out there on the side of a cliff. You're on a, you got a rope, and it's a long way down. And somebody's trying to teach you how to speak in French, like right there on the, like, en rappel, en belay. Those are French words, you know. So that's the time you like to be watched. Can anybody think of another time you'd like to be watched? Okay, yeah. So In fact, I meant to mention this earlier, that Kim is not with me tonight, and I appreciate the ones that have asked about her. She sends her her regrets for not being here, but she's with my sister Meredith, and some of you have been praying for Meredith. She's going, she's undergoing her third series of chemotherapy treatments, and just like you said, nice to have somebody with you. Kim's caring for Meredith right now. She needs to be watched. In fact, I bet you if I called her and said, "Hey, are you glad somebody's there watching you?" She'd say, "Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad she's there caring for me." You know, and so it's a good example. In the sight of God, there's another time where I thought, you know, we like to be watched. I mean, like as a parent, don't you feel good when you know your children are being watched? I mean, you know, like Kim's gone. She's gone this week, so I got the kids, right? So, but she can, I hope, feel like at ease, at peace, knowing that her kids are being watched, right? Now, if we were both gone, and maybe we didn't have somebody sitting with the kids, and you're like, you're antsy. Like, my kids aren't being, are they safe? I don't know. So there are times where we like to be watched, that are good to be watched. Just on the flip side of that, there are times that we don't want to be watched, though, right, too. Right? What's the time when we don't want to be watched? How about, oh, Sam, you got one? Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I'm glad we're all family here, you know. How about, you ever had a situation, maybe tonight even, it could have happened, like, you're down. You're back there. You're getting a cup of coffee, and you got a piece of cake or something like that. And you walk, and you just about trip, and like your coffee spills on you. And you, the first thing you do sometimes is look around and say, "Ooh, did anybody see that?" You know, like that's the time you really didn't want to be watched. You're getting ready to stumble or trip, right? Of course, there's a time. I would imagine if a guy was robbing a bank right now, he probably wouldn't want to be watched, would he? Right? So why does Paul say, he says sincerity. We can get that, right? A pure motive, wanting with heart, with passion, and says, I'm gonna serve God in this way. God's my source. He's my strength. Then why does he say in the sight of God? In the sight of God. Boy, that's a pretty high mark of accountability, isn't it? God in God's sight. But it's also in just the same way that like you're maybe stepping into a dangerous situation, rappelling off that cliff, and you want somebody watching you, God's watching you. God's your belayer, right? God's, he's going to protect me. That same way that, like the example was given, after you had surgery and when you want somebody to watch you, to care for you, God's able to do that, right? We can have a relationship with God in the sight of God. Paul, all those things we just read about, the persecution, the distress, the heartbreak, the getting rerouted, I mean, those things, God's right there with him, right? In the sight of God. God knew what was happening. Another thing, when you're watching somebody, when you're watching them, you know exactly what they're going through. You know exactly what they need. And so here in the sight of God, when I first asked the question, I said, who wants to be watched? And we all said, no, I don't want to be watched. But you know what? I want God watching me, right? When I think about it, I really want to be in his sight. I want to be under his protection. I want his aid. And so he says, in the sight of God. We also gain an amount of accountability there. Turn over. Again, hold your finger. Hope your index finger's not getting too overly worked tonight. But hold your finger there. Go back to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And consider a few things here about the sight of God. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15.
Luke 16:15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God.
So we think about this verse gives us a tip. The things that are highly esteemed among men in the sight of God is an abomination. Perhaps that could be the case. So God's got a different economy. God's got a different standard. Go to Acts chapter 10.
You can still hold your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that comes after 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, excuse me.
Acts chapter 10 and verse 31. Look at this. This is a Gentile, right? Some of you may remember Cornelius. Acts chapter 10 and verse 31. And said Cornelius, this is the vision being revealed to Cornelius. And the person speaking there says, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms have been in remembrance in the sight of God. Right? So here, God might see some acts of men as abominable, as distasteful, not acceptable. But here, he says, Cornelius, God has seen your actions, and they are recognized, and God remembers them in the sight of God. God was watching. Now go back to your chapter of 2 Corinthians. We're close to chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now Paul's hitting back on that same thing that we're seeing in chapter 2 and verse 17. My ministry in the sight of God. Let's look at one more verse. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. We have this this thought of things being good and acceptable. We saw the spectrum there. We saw things in the book of Luke, perhaps the actions of the Pharisees that were an abomination to God. In the sight of men, glory, but in the sight of God, an abomination. We have God that would see a repentant sinner, one who is seeking after God, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. He would say that Cornelius had a proper pursuit in the sight of God. Paul, wanting his ministry to be pleasing, acceptable in the sight of God. And so we have that third thing we consider, the sight of God. Now, the last thing we see is that speak we in Christ. Speak we in Christ. And so we have these four different categories. And really, the verse gives us three things that begin with S to help us to remember that. And we assign the source and strength to the second one. But we have the sincerity, the source and strength, the sight of God, and then speak we in Christ. In Acts, the book of Acts, when they're talking about what we preach, it says we preach Christ, right? We preach Christ. The explanation of Christ, who Christ is, what he did, why he came. We speak in Christ. We speak about Christ, but then notice the phrase in Christ. How many different times do we find the little phrase in Christ in the New Testament? I think it's 76. I didn't write it down, but I think it's 76 times that we find that little phrase in Christ. And what a tremendous truth that is, right? The very fact that we are in Christ as believers. And go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. In fact, somebody's maybe got that one memorize. Anybody want to recite it for us? Romans 8:1. Say it louder. Yeah. That's right. See that? In Christ, there's no condemnation. That's enough in itself, right? The fact that we're in Christ, we speak in Christ. Speak we in Christ. We're moving in Christ. We're conducting our business in Christ. We are found in Christ. We're told that we're hid in Christ. And so another verse is in 2 Timothy. Turn there. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1 says, 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And then notice in verse 9 of the same chapter, who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world begins. Before the world began. So, sounds like a ministry, right? I mean, even that, what Paul wrote to Timothy, this ministry that we've been given. And so, as we go, we find our way back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. We find these four distinctions, four different descriptions of a ministry. We see that this has been said true of Paul's ministry. You know, that fact of being in Christ, that also adds an accountability, doesn't it? In fact, there was a fellow who wrote this about being in Christ and serving Christ. He says, "My service must be of such character that Christ himself could do the same things if he were present." Christ himself would be doing the same thing if he were present. Wow. You think about that for a little while. That's incredible. That if it's logical, we're in Christ, we're seeking God's will, we're being led of the Spirit, we would be doing the same thing that Christ himself was doing if he were present. And so that takes, I think it should add a layer to not the fact that I say that I get this thought of saying like, oh, I can be just as good as Christ. I can do just as good as Christ. But we have the attitude of Christ in me in Christ. I need to take it serious. I need to try to do it that way. I need to try. Even though I'm going to fall short, I got the old nature. I can't be perfect. All these things, these thoughts going in our heads that would demotivate us, we would have this aspect. I'm going to treat God's ministry so seriously that it's in Christ, it's at Christ's standard. So Paul relays these things, the sincerity of his ministry, the source of his ministry, the strength of his ministry, the fact of his his ministry is in the sight of God, seeking to be well-pleasing to God, and that is, he speaks in Christ. He moves in Christ. Now, we hear about Paul's ministry, and I said right before at the beginning that we all have this ministry of reconciliation. We all have a ministry. We seek to serve God. That's our ministry. And so, we should try to lay these four things or these same concepts as Paul's putting out in his ministry, that we'd lay those right beside our ministry, right? That we'd lay those right beside our daily walk, that we would seek to be sincere, pure, that we'd seek to keep recognizing God as our strength, God as our source, and that we would keep operating in the sight of God, knowing that he's watching us, that He's got our protection in God's sight, and that we would speak in Christ. So we have Paul as an example. We have application that we can make to our own ministry. And then the third thing is making a connection for a ministry like Mountaintop Youth Camp. That those four categories would be true for a ministry like Mountaintop as well. That we would in the same way, we don't want to merchandise the gospel, right? We don't want to corrupt the gospel. We want to see the gospel go forth in purity, in sincerity, in simplicity. These four things would be true. In the God is our source, a faith-based ministry. God is our provider. God is our strength. In the sight of God, we want things to be done in the sight of God. God's watching. God's protecting. God's keeping accountable. And also in a ministry like Mountaintop, that we would speak in Christ and have that same, again, accountability. So let's look at a little video of some of the things that we've got at Mountaintop. And then I want to hand out this little prayer card that we have for you. And we should wrap up around 8 o'clock. Is that right? Yep.